This meeting of the City Council of University City to order at 6:30. Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Jennings?
Present.
Councilmember Carr?
Present.
Councilmember Crow?
Here.
Councilmember Glicker? Councilmember Smotherson?
Here.
Mayor Welsh?
Here. Thank you very much. We now move on to the approval of the agenda. Does any member of council have a change to the agenda he or she would like to suggest? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented? Mr. Jennings moves. Is there a second? Mr. Glickard seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have no proclamations for tonight. We now move on to the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the September 26, 2016 study session? Mr. Jennings moves. Is there a second? Mr. Smotherson seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve the September 26, 2016 regular session minutes? Mr. Jennings moves. Is there a second? Mr. Smotherson seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. I would like to appoint Peggy Schaumleffer to the Board of Trustees for our retirement boards, replacing Matthew Filo. Is there a second? Mr. Glickard seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have no one to swear into a board or commission tonight. We now move on to citizen participation. We have a total of 15 minutes at this time. I would ask those speakers to please turn the microphone on when you come up to the podium and off when you leave. Please give your name and address at the beginning of your remarks, and please limit your remarks to 5 minutes. First speaker request is from Ms. Mary Ann Zaghi.
Hi, my name is Mary Ann Zaghi, and I live at 6303 McPherson. And I'm wanting to speak with you about the retirement of and search for a new chief of police. I'm going to read my remarks just to be complete. It was recently announced that Chief Charles Adams is planning to retire. During our police chief's tenure, I personally have been, by and large, very pleased with and well served by our City Police Department. On several occasions, you city police officers assist me when my old car broke down, once when I was alone at night, and once on my way to work in the midst of Del Mar rush hour traffic. I've also been well served when I called police to my home about safety concerns and a suspected prowler. Their responses were swift, courteous, and effective. As a white woman living in Ward 1, one does wonder whether all other citizens in University City have experienced the same level of service and protection from our police. Perhaps this is the universal experience throughout our city by citizens from all three wards, of all races and income levels, and of all ages. I have heard anecdotal reports to the contrary, but these would be third-person accounts, hearsay, if I recounted them at this time, and I want to emphasize that. Therefore, it would be valuable in order to help ensure that all our citizens are being well served as I am, that we hold forums open to all of our citizens. These forums would allow for input as to the quality of and satisfaction with University City Police's service and protection of all citizens in all wards. Further, it's imperative that citizens from all three wards of UCity be integrally involved in the process of searching for and deciding on candidates for and the final person to whom the job of University City Chief of Police is offered. This just makes good sense because we are all stakeholders. University City rightly prides itself in being one of the best cities in the St. Louis area with respect to racial balance on our police force, as well as racial justice and equity. And this is not by accident. However, just as is true in every city and town in our entire country, we in University City still have a very long way to go to achieve racial justice and equity. Citizen input about their real experiences with our police and citizen input in choosing a new Police Chief are vital to help continue to move our city forward toward equality and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Margaret Johnson.
Good evening. I'm Margaret Johnson. I live at 7509 Gannon Avenue. One of the most important public decisions any elected or appointed official will make is the hiring of a police chief. It's a critical decision that involves the future of a city. Chief Adams is retiring soon. He's been an excellent police chief. And now the decision about who to replace him will affect the residents and visitors of your city for years to come. Trust between a new police officers, and U City citizens is critical. One way to develop that trust is to begin with a transparent hiring process, a process which allows residents to meet the candidates and listen to them as they answer questions put to them in the hiring process. For example, questions such as, what's the difference between a good police department and a great one? How do you think a great police department operates? What style of leadership is necessary in a great police department? And what qualities should a prospective chief bring to U City that will give the community confidence that this person is the right one to be chief? And an important question is, what are 3 to 5 things that need improving right now, and how would you lead that improvement? These questions I just delineated were taken from a list created by a retired police chief. They're part of an article discussing effective ways to lead and improve a police department. I believe that a transparent hiring process will have a positive effect on both the community and the police department. Hearing the candidates' responses to such questions would encourage both civilians and police officers and the city council to think more deeply about quality policing. There is a disconnect between the police and the citizens that they serve and protect, and University City's hiring of a new police chief could be an event that could strengthen those connections. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Ms. Judith Gaynor.
Judith Gaynor, 721 Harvard. My front yard now overlooks the scenic rear of the temporary police facility. The logical outcome of the study session this evening seems that there will be a decision to build a new police facility. And then that begets the question of what happens to the annex. So because that's looming as a very big issue, I want to publicly remind council and the mayor and Mr. Walker that these properties, the annex and the old library, are within the boundaries of University Heights Subdivision Number 1, and they are subject to the indenture, the trust agreement that has governed what can and can't be built and how it can be used since 1908. The major purpose of that indenture, and I quote, was to maintain a high-class residential neighborhood. The police department certainly violates that. It's affected people's ability to sell homes that border the area where the new temporary station is. The city's manipulation of the zoning codes that gave the developer Henry Warshaw permission to use the playground that was zoned for public activity, gave him permission to use that as a parking lot, also violated our trust agreement. So I once again want to simply make a public statement that whatever you folks decide about what happens to that annex building, please remember that that property is protected by the trust agreement. And those of us who live in the Heights really expect that the legal aspects of that agreement, as well as the spirit that we've thought sort of permeated U City, will respect the interest of those of us who live adjacent to this area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now move on. We have no public hearing scheduled for tonight. There is nothing on the consent agenda. We now move on to the city manager's report. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of council. The only item under the city manager's report is the liquor license for Cicero's. Staff is recommending approval.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Glickert, is there a second? Mr. Jennings, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move on to unfinished business. Ms. Pum, may we have the second reading of Bill number 9294.
An ordinance amending Section 355.040 Disabled Parking, Chapter 355 Traffic Code of the University City Municipal Code to revise traffic regulations as provided herein.
Thank you. May we have the third reading, please?
An ordinance amending Section 355.040 Disabled Parking, Chapter 355 Traffic Code of the University City Municipal Code to revise traffic regulations as provided herein.
What's the pleasure of the council? Mr. Smotherson, did you want to move approval? Mr. Smotherson moves. Ms. Carr seconds. Is there any discussion? Mr. Smotherson?
I just wanted to let Joyce know that I don't need an explanation on that on my previous request earlier. And what that was to include permitted parking and as part of the penalty in letter E. Well, I saw letter K, and now that I understand the now that you were addressing, and it is there. So I'm fine with it the way it's written. So just letting you know if that's okay. All right.
Thank you very much. With no further discussion, Ms. Pum, would you please poll the council?
Councilmember Jennings?
Absolutely, yes.
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember Crowe? Councilmember Glickert? Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Mayor Welsh?
Aye. Thank you very much. We now move on to new business. We have no resolutions for tonight. We do have a new bill, number 9295. Ms. Pum, may we have the first reading of Bill 9295?
Somebody needs to introduce it.
I'm sorry. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Glickert introduces. I apologize. Ms. Pum.
An ordinance amending Chapter 2.52 of the University City Municipal Code relating the Committee for Access and Local Origination Programming by repealing Section 2.52.050 thereof, relating to membership and appointment, and enacting in lieu thereof a new section to be known as Section 2.52.050, Membership and Appointment, thereby amending said section so as to remove charter communications referred to as the company.
Thank you very much. We now move on. We have no more requests to speak. We now move on to council reports and business. A number of appointments. Mr. Glickert has an appointment to CALIP. Mr. Jennings has an appointment to Green Practices. I also have appointments to Green Practices and CALIP, the Board of Adjustment, and the Board of Appeals. Does any member of council have a report on a committee to which he or she liaises? Ms. Carr?
I'd like to report on the Park Commission. At the last meeting, they reviewed a plan for the modification of the River de Pere that runs through Heman Park. The presentation was by an engineering group. And they also discussed using asphalt as opposed to concrete in several of the parks. They will be considering that. They'll be getting some bids and further information. And my suggestion is if you have concerns about your neighborhood park, to please attend the Park Commission meetings or to email either the Park Commission or myself, and we'll make sure that your concerns get addressed. The Park Commission, after all, does deal closely with the parks, and we use them. So this is a natural place for you to come and let the Park Commission know what you want to see in your parks.
Thank you. Any others? We did get some minutes from board and commission meetings. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker. We now move on to other discussions in business. Ms. Carr and Mr. Crowe.
Thank you, Mayor. So at the last meeting, we voted unanimously to begin the process to evaluate our employees. We have the council has two employees, the city manager and the city clerk. 3 years ago, we did an evaluation and haven't looked at one since. And as most of you know, I have been a minority voice over the last two-plus years and have tried several times to make an effort to address some issues and was either ignored or not. The upshot of this is that the majority council had the opportunity to establish goals or lay out what they wanted from our employees. And in spite of the many, many things that they passed, including outsourcing of EMS and the bond issues, they never addressed that. And so for 3 years, it was not addressed. The mayor has now said that in a letter to us that she marked confidential, which is not, by the way, she said that we simply can't address the performance of our employees over the last 3 years because we didn't establish goals. And I say nonsense. While goals are important, performance is tantamount. And we have seen plenty of performance. We cannot ignore what has happened the last 3 years. I suggest that this council initiate immediately an evaluation using the previous forms that we use, because apparently we've been using the same goals for the last 3 years. Nobody seemed to mind them. And after that evaluation is completed, then we can establish new goals that are informed by the evaluation. So I move that we initiate this evaluation immediately using the previous forms that we used in 2013.
We have a motion. Is there a second? Mr. Crow seconds. Any discussion? Mr. Crow?
Thank you. I'll be brief. I think one of the things that sort of has struck me as odd in this conversation is that when we are told that we cannot review our employees because we haven't set new goals, and I think I have about 400 employees who work for me, and I think out of that number, my responsibility is that if I do not create new goals, then your goals stand. And so to me, your goals stand, and your performance is measured against your goals. And if we didn't change your goals, then your goals stand. And so to me, it just strikes me as we need to be fair to our employees. We need to give them a review, and they need to be reviewed against the goals that they have. The fact that they don't have new goals, to me, does not in any way inhibit the realization that they need to have the benefit of a review.
Mr. Jennings?
Thank you. I would like to say that the council, I think, dropped the ball on the evaluation issue. So our performance is tantamount also. It's my opinion that we need to update and include the latest best practices in doing the evaluations. A lot of things have changed in the years where we did not move to do this. And we also have to be careful that we are dealing with employee issues. So a lot of the things that we probably want to look at may have been outdated, but again, have not been agreed upon. It's been my experience as an employee and with employees, when you evaluate employees, you set the goals and they're agreed upon, usually with a signature from the representative from the company and the individual. And I don't think that has happened. It's an annual process. So I think we really need to quickly put together a good annual evaluation process and let's grade the employees quickly, but I want to make sure that we have the latest process, want to make sure they understand what our goals are and go forward the way we should have been. At least I'm afraid we might be opening ourselves up to more litigation.
Mr. Clicker?
It's difficult. We use the word goals. I would use the word objectives. We don't have objectives in place for our two employees. I agree with my colleagues. We've waited too long. I would be willing to look at the form and fill out the evaluation form, but I have some reservations about it because we don't have those goals, and I just think our employees would really question the evaluation form since there's nothing to evaluate them on. I would like for this council to have a study session on goal setting for our two employees.
Thank you. Ms. Carr?
I would probably say nonsense. Our employees have been operating not with a free rein for the last 3 years, but under the guidance of the majority council. If that majority council failed to set forth some objectives, the problem lies with them, but those goals are implicit, if not explicit. And there has been a wide body of performance. If we fail to evaluate the performance, even in a very rudimentary manner, we are then leaving ourselves open to litigation. Not if you don't set goals. You cannot wipe away the behavior of the last 3 years. You can vote this down, and then the entire city will know that you have abdicated your responsibility as employers.
Mr. Jennings?
Well, failures make good lawsuits. You know, we just can't wipe away the fact that we failed to have this evaluation for our employees to look at and to be graded on. I say let's get it right today and move forward quickly. But again, it's our fault on the council, and we could be held accountable on this because in 3 years, last year, there was no talk about this evaluation. So for us to go out and criticize, these folks can easily say, well, we didn't have the objectives. I say let's go ahead and get it right, make it tight.
Any other comments? Well, I would say I would just like to clarify what has happened here. 2 weeks ago, my colleague made a motion that we start the process of evaluation of our employees. Initially, the motion was within 10 days. Mr. Glickert asked for, and we supported, an extension to 14 days to begin the process of evaluating our employees. I said that night that I could not be involved doing anything for the next week since I was dealing with sending my daughter overseas. I came back, and on Tuesday, I got an email from one member of council asking what I had done related to the motion that was made at the previous meeting. I note that no other member of council had done anything in those ensuing 7 workdays. I then put together a memo to council, which is my opinion on how we should continue. I did mark it confidential. Ms. Carr agrees, disagrees. Perhaps I'm wrong. I don't know. But that was my opinion as to how we should proceed. I am one vote on this council, as I am told and reminded oh so often. So any other member of council could have put forth, if they so chose, another way of doing this. I voted for beginning the process. I believe the start of that process is to develop objectives or goals. We have not done that. The last time we did it, our employees have already been evaluated on those goals. This was not a problem of the minority. Any member of council in the past 3 years could have made the motion that was made 2 weeks ago. To try to put it on the majority of the council is wrong. In fact, the whole council fell down on this. We did. So 2 weeks ago, at Ms. Carr's suggestion, we voted to begin the process. I would like to begin the process. I will not fill out an evaluation form that was created 3.5 years ago on goals that we gave our employees in 2012. I just won't do that. I think it is putting us at legal risk. I think our employees would have legitimate concerns about being evaluated on whatever, and I will not vote to do that. And if the majority votes, I will not take part in that evaluation. So we have a motion and a second. Ms. Carr, you've had your two times at the Apple.
I'd like to suspend the rules. Unless you'll allow me to speak. I'll make a motion to suspend the rules.
Well, Ms., can we not vote on, is there some reason we can't vote on your motion? I mean, I'll give you one more time, Ms. Carr, but there are Robert's rules, which we follow, and you have spoken twice, and Mr. Jennings, you have too. So this is why I kind of like to keep within Robert's rules.
That's right. So as the constituents have seen, the mayor runs the meetings, and the mayor sets the tone for what we do. And if I remember in the last evaluation, it was the mayor that coordinated setting up a committee. And in fact, ran all of those meetings too. I do remember sitting here after hearing one of our employees call Mr. Crow a liar and then call me a liar. And I wrote to the mayor and I suggested that we do something about it. And she told me it was a private discussion and she was not going to do anything about it. I also remember that when I had some questions about behavior of one of our employees, I brought it to this chamber several times. It was removed by some of the other members of council, and eventually the council rules were changed so that if I brought something up and it was quote-unquote disposed of, it could not be brought back again for 1 year. So when I'm telling you that we have not had a voice in order to bring this forward, when I ask that we hire an attorney to look at the city manager writing an article in Roars, it was removed. The fact of the matter is, 3 years have gone by and a lot has happened here. A lot of things were pushed through last minute, and yet not one, certainly not the mayor, thought to establish or finish the goals that we had started. If we wipe away, what the mayor is proposing is we establish new goals and then start again. And that means start again today. Don't even look back over our shoulders. I'm sorry, folks. This has been the problem for the last 3 years. Yes, our employees need guidance. Absolutely. They need to know when something isn't going right. They need to know when they're serving some members of council and not other members of council. And they need to know when they're doing a terrific job, too. It is time for us to write an evaluation. And if the mayor chooses not to, and this council chooses to vote against it, then let the public know that we are abdicating our responsibility and continue to behave in unbelievable fashion in a way that we would never allow for a citizen to come up and not be evaluated in the sense that, you know, if let me put it another way. We had somebody dragged out of this chamber because that person got evaluated by the mayor as speaking in a manner that somehow offended her. It is time to do our job. You cannot turn your back on 3 years. What the mayor is proposing is that we set up some new rules, and let's put that off until November, and then maybe December. And then we have to give them about, you know, anywhere from 3 months to a year to adhere to these new rules. What about what's happened in the past 3 years? I couldn't go to work and not be evaluated on an annual basis. This is absolutely unconscionable. So I think let's let the people know that we don't want to do our job, that we don't want to offer guidance to our employees.
Mr. Jennings?
Thank you. I agree. We have abdicated our responsibility for these 3 years. So what's a few more weeks? And for those who don't see it, it's obvious that there's some bad blood, and many could even construe this as a witch hunt or direct insubordination of employees. But for the protection of the city, residents, and these employees, we need to document. We need to have these things in writing for their protection, the city's protection, and going forward, we need to adhere. Now, she mentioned that she worked for someone else, that she would be evaluated. I don't think another company would miss giving out annual evaluations if that was the policy. So, again, you know, we get that. We have to accept that responsibility. But for us to run out now and pass judgment when we ain't had the right documents is not right. We must revise our employee evaluations now and quickly get them in place. And, by the way, you mentioned the moderator, the mayor. You know, moderators run meetings, and the mayor is the moderator. This is how we're set up.
Mr. Crow?
Thank you. I'd like to move forward with this pretty quickly, but what I sense here is a desire to set up new goals so that the past 3 years are sort of swept away. And I think to anyone and everyone who's been paying the bills for the past 3 years, I think that is as much an abomination as anything. Ms. Carr did an excellent job of reminding all of you who have sat in the audience what the last period of time we have gone through has been like, when rules have been changed and when motions were not allowed. And so, again, I think that it is time for this evaluation to go forward. I am surprised at the mayor's stance to some degree, but yet, actually, maybe not. I believe it's time for us to evaluate our employees. I think our employees have known, and I do believe it's clearly known, their expectations every day. And I think most of you have seen that they have an idea what their expectations are every day. And I think we also could probably give an idea of who set those expectations for our employees on a daily basis.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Pum, would you please pull the council on Ms. Carr's motion? Ms. Carr, can you please repeat your motion?
That we begin an immediate evaluation of our employees using the forms that we used in 2013, since those were the goals that have been in operation since that time.
Ms. Pum, would you please pull the council?
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember Crow?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Glickard?
Aye.
Councilmember Jennings?
Nay.
Mayor Welsh?
Nay.
Outrageous. That we set up a study session to begin looking at the evaluation forms.
There's a motion to set up a study session to start the process, the evaluation process, by establishing goals and objectives.
And a frequency for them.
Yes. Is there a second? Mr. Glickert, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of setting up a study session to begin the evaluation process, to establish the evaluation process for our employees, once again, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Some people didn't go either way, I don't think so. So, Ms. Pum, maybe you should pull the council.
Councilmember Crow.
I voted aye, but what a very strange order from the mayor.
Continue, Ms. Carr. Ms. Pum.
Councilmember Glickard. Councilmember Smotherson. Councilmember Jennings.
Aye.
Councilmember Carr.
I'm going to abstain because this is not a substitute for the evaluation for the last 3 years. It is not.
Mayor Welsh.
Aye. Thank you very much. We now move on to council comments. Any member of council have any comments he or she would like to make? Mr. Smotherson?
Yes. I wanted to first of all thank this council for the approval of that revision on the disabled sign ordinance and also the staff for their help in the work done on that. What I did want to ask Mr. Walker is how soon will those stickers be available for the residents, and also and will the current sign owners be contacted, or how that process is going to work?
Madam Mayor, through to Council Member Smotherson, I will consult with the Director of Public Works on the timetable on that and advise Council.
Okay, and then I have one more question for Mr. Walker, and that is, after our study session this evening, and we've realized one of the things that's happened is that there's an additional cost because of rising costs that are going on. There's an additional cost now for a new police station from $12 million to $17 million. My question to you do we have an estimated cost? Have we been keeping track? And what do you think that estimated cost of a new police station would be? Meaning, where would that stand now? Where do you think that stands right now?
Councilmember Smotherson, no, we don't have that information available.
Mr. Crow?
Thank you. For the city manager, through I think probably to the director of finance, one of my constituents has asked and has asked staff, and I am now asking staff, that on each of our refuse bills, there is a line item for $2.40 for the replacement of trash cans, and that seems to be an indefinite fee. And it looks as if that fee is to go into a special fund for the purchase of the replacement of trash cans. Her question is, how much is in that fund, and is it being used for the replacement of trash cans, or is that simply just another fee that is going into the general expenses of the trash hauling? So I think that question has been asked, and I would like that to be answered as to if it is a special line item on our refuse bill. It would seem to me that it goes into a fund that would be dollars in, dollars out for money for a replacement trash can, so it would be used simply for that purpose. Also, I would like to, as one of the people in the room who was impacted by the presidential debate, I'd like to thank the police force for all of your efforts. We had our neighborhood, as you can imagine, was tightened up like a jug 10 times over, and they did a great job. Not only did I think hopefully everyone felt secure, but they were always very polite and very courteous towards everybody around them. And for the most part, I know that we had some issues, but it seemed to be like the efforts down our way worked pretty well. I also, I'm sure my colleagues have probably done this separately, but as I think Mary Ann and Margaret had said, Charles Adams has been with us an incredibly long time and is a valued public servant and member of our community, and we will miss him tremendously as he moves forward. But I know that all of us will show our appreciation to Charles for the leadership he has given the police force and for the safety that they have provided to our community.
Ms. Carr?
I, too, would like to thank Chief Adams and also Captain Jackson for the many, many years that they have given us, and especially Captain Jackson for interacting so frequently with citizens, for training block captains and many of us on how to protect our neighborhoods and our homes. And I would also like to remind you that on October 21st and 22nd, there'll be the third annual St. Louis Book Fest, or Lit in the Lou. And I found out today that the young audience author, Jacqueline Woodson, is being nominated. I think she's made the short list of the National Book Award, and she will be here during that time. So I hope you'll all come. This year they're focused on literature for children and for young adults, but I have to admit I read a lot of the young adult literature myself. It's awfully good. Thank you.
Thank you. I would just like to mention a few things. I ditto Councilmember Karen Crow and their comments on Chief Adams and Captain Jackson. I was here in this chamber for Captain Jackson's goodbye luncheon, and it was very good to see so many staff members here, but as well as people in the community with whom Carol has been working for decades. It was, we are losing two great officers, and I look forward to the future of the department and hoping that it retains, continues to be the great department it is today. I'd like to remind people that on October 15th is the electronics recycling event that is over at the Heeman Park Community Center. I believe it is 8 a.m. to 1 or 2. I advise people, I got there 20 minutes before it opened last time, and it's a long line, but if you have electronics, that's the time to get rid of them. Ms. Carr mentioned Lit in the Lou coming up on the 21st and 22nd, and also on the 22nd is Make a Difference Day, which is University City is taking part in this National Day of Service. This is the sixth year we've been involved. We were the first city in the state of Missouri to be part of this national effort. The River to Pear Trash Bash is part of the Make a Difference Day. If you have any questions about it or want to volunteer, please contact our Department of Community Development. We'll be doing work all over the city of University City. And with that, I would like to adjourn this meeting at 7:11. Thank you very much.